relax and get loose while I put you up on game. The Figure Booth with Josh and Nate, this that podcast for those in the know. Batman vs Iron Man, how would it go? We talking one of a kind, collectibles, Mezco toys are respectable. It's unacceptable if it's not in the packaging. Nate don't take pics if you ain't rapping it. Nate's dirty tricks are always happening, but damn it, man, don't you be stressing. Round here we believe in plastic confessions. We trying to figure out the figures that's gonna stand the test of time. That G.I. Joe handmade hit me in the spine. There's perfection in the way that these toys are made. But I also wanna know, do I pick Wade or Slade? So this is where I come to kick it with the guys. The Figure Booth, like, comment, and subscribe.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Figure Booth, here where we talk about the modern day collector and ups and downs that they face. We go over pre-orders, we share our plastic confessions, and we do interviews with those in the toy community. My name is Josh, aka Prime to the First, and I'm joined by my friend co-host, FigureFan underscore Nate.
Hello everybody, and thanks for tuning in again. You've reached episode 85, which we're calling Hypothetically Speaking.
Oh, a what if episode. Maybe
a bunch of what ifs.
Bunch of what ifs.
Yeah, like the Marvel what if. Like, if Prime was a zombie, would we still have this podcast?
Probably not. No, probably. I think the dialogue would be similar. You might not even be able to tell the difference.
Oh, wow.
Either the zombie's really smart or I'm really like a zombie sometimes.
A smart zombie, that's scary. Yeah. That's like, yeah, clicker style. Or you just start clicking into the microphone. You know, Last of Us. But yeah, we're talking about hypothetical situations. So I think as collectors, we all get into different situations.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it might be something that you're like, okay, well, how do I deal with this? What's the right way to deal with it? Right. What's the way I might deal with it?
Yeah.
And then maybe what's the wrong way to deal with it?
Yeah. And I think also sometimes you go through these, like, well, as a collector, when I say you, as a collector, we go through these phases, right? Where maybe when you're first and brand new into the game, you're just collecting everything. And we've kind of talked about that, like, right, kind of figuring out what's your likes and what your dislikes are. But then as you start to kind of figure out and get your feet settled, get your feet underneath you, is that the same? Whatever. You get your bearings on, right?
You sometimes start
backtracking. Like, I went through a phase where I was collecting a lot of vintage stuff that was in my childhood. Like, I was getting some Cops and Crooks figures. I was getting like a bunch of 80s stuff, and you go hard on that stuff, because then you start, like, all of a sudden you feel like you got the Midas touch, and like everywhere you turn you're like, oh, I'm finding all these great deals. So you go through this hunting phase where you're just finding these killer deals. And then you go through a different phase where you're picking up all the latest stuff. Like, you just have perfect timing, or you go through this like flea market phase where you're just hitting up all these random places, and you seem to have like the secret map where you're there at the right place at the right time. And then the opposite, you seem to be there at the wrong time at the wrong place, and you're like nothing but empty pegs. Like, I think we all go through those ups and downs where you're like, right, oh, this game's too stressful, because every time I go to Target, like, I'm left with a bunch of, like, you know, Lady Janes or whatever, you know. It's like, so we go through these phases where it's either we become like this perfect hunter, all of a sudden we become, we start hunting the vintage stuff, or maybe we get like that one high dollar collectible, and then we start like upping our collection, and we just start, you know, getting rid of all the cheaper stuff, and we're more focused on dollar amount. Like, I think we all go through different phases where it's, if it's not scale, it's price point, or it's line, or it's a particular character. Like, I went through a crazy phase where I was getting nothing but Spider-Mans and Hulks for like the longest time. I have no idea. And I was fixated. I'm like, I need to get all these Toy Biz Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Like, I need to get the Snapshot, the Super Strength, the Sinister Six one, the McFarlane one. I went through this crazy phase, and then I got them on. I'm like, okay, what's next? Oh, I need all these Hulks. And I was hunting eBay. I was going through groups. Like, it's crazy. And now I'm like, why the hell did I do that? Like, now I have two shelves full of, you know, now I'm ready to
sell. Well, I mean, yeah, like we've talked about, as you go through your collecting life, your taste will change and the way you approach collecting will change. And then, you know, like we're talking about, how do you keep that focus? How do you stay in your lane with what you've told yourself that you're going to buy. So you get these situations where you might see a figure that you've been after.
Yeah.
Or on the flip side, you have a figure in your collection that you really love, but you've realized that it's very valuable.
Yeah.
So how do you approach those situations? Like what choice would you really make? So I thought it'd be fun for me and Prime to kind of go through some hypothetical situations.
Nice.
And kind of see how we would treat it. And for anybody listening, you know, as you guys are following along, you're listening in, maybe focus on one or two of these and let us know in the comments how you would deal with it. You know, do you disagree with us? Do you agree? Is there another hypothetical situation that you wish we would have touched on? Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from you guys. So make sure when you're watching this episode, hit that like button. It's a small gesture that costs you nothing. And it goes a long way for me and Prime. It tells YouTube that you like our content. And that's something that we need. And then leave those comments. So we're interacting with you guys.
Yep.
That's one of our favorite things. It's one of the reasons why we do Motivation Mondays now. So we can interact with our guests and our fans.
That's right.
So that's a big part of this too. So please leave those comments. Let us hear from you. And if you guys are listening and you maybe haven't tuned in for a little while, you've missed some great content. Mm-hmm. Me and Prime did a couple of great interviews. We had one with 78 Points of Articulation, which was awesome.
Yep.
Dial maker extraordinaire, got to pick his brain about his collecting, his dial making.
I even tried on one of his rings. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah, which is, yeah. That's a monument.
He had enough to go around. Like, he sent you a ring. He sent me a ring. Like, yeah. Enough rings for everybody in the community. So,
right. That's cool. Pretty epic for Prime to even convince him to get one of his rings off his hand. And then we had Bat Force Grump just last week.
Yep.
Which was awesome. Everybody knows Bat Force Grump. Mr. Grumpy himself, but he's actually a really nice guy, really diehard collector, huge Batman fan, and just all around supporter. If there's one guy that you see in your live streams frequently, it's probably Bat Force Grumps.
Yeah, you can't get him out of your stream, even if you want to. I mean, you could, but he's gonna be there.
Right, we're not even live right now. What are you doing? Yeah, no, but that was a great combo. I had a great talk with him, and got to pick his brain as well. And in that episode, we did a revised version of our Dirty Dozen, updating it a bit for some of the current lines. So please go check out those two episodes.
And let us know who should come on to the figure booth. Like, drop those comments. Let us know who should we reach out. Who would you guys like to see us have a chat with and really take a deeper dive on what makes them tick?
Absolutely. Yeah. Those last two we're listing, even though those probably would have been eventual guests, those are comments that we got too. I'd love to hear from this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you should have this guy on the podcast. Yeah. We love to hear from that. That's people that we want to make sure we're providing the content you guys want to hear.
Yeah.
So if there's someone that you're dying to hear from that you're surprised we haven't had on the show yet, tell us that so we can make sure we have them on. And then if you're listening and you're not subscribed, what are you doing with your lives? Make sure you subscribe to the Figure Booth and hit the notification bell so you don't miss our new content. You don't have to worry about it. Notification bell tells you everything. So yeah, let's get into it. Hypothetically speaking, I've got a PowerPoint that I created for this. And we're going to go through some different slides, some different situations.
Yep. He's got the laser pointer and the clicker. Let's do this. Worldwide prestige.
Right. Like being in the office in the 1990s. I got my laser pointer and my projector, and I'm good to go.
It's like that scene from Step Brothers when they take out the projector. Let's do it.
This isn't,
let's go.
Yeah, right. This isn't on the wall. What is this? Okay. Situation one.
All right.
You find the perfect figure for your collection, but it's being sold at an incredibly high price. We've all seen this before, right? Yeah. You go to like a comic shop, you go to a toy show. They've got that one figure that you've been after, but it's always very high.
Yeah.
Do you splurge and buy that figure, or do you wait and hope for the price to go down?
You know, there's a lot of, compensating factors that have to go into this.
Yes.
How long have I been looking for this figure? And this is the piece of resistance for my collection. This is that. That's it. This is the last thing I need. And so if it is, then I should have an idea of price point. But also at the same time, even though you have like a budget in mind, I have come across figures where I was like, damn, I really want that one. And it's just out of my budget. So if it's out of my budget, then it's out of my budget. And so for like, for example, like, there was the SDCC Wrath set. I only wanted Dread Knight. That's it. I didn't want the whole set. I only wanted Dread Knight and the Spider-Man that came with it, but that's it. And I kept seeing the whole set, and it was priced very high. It was like, you know, 200s or something. And then I just waited and waited, and eventually, and then I started kicking myself in the butt, because then the prices were like all over the place and nobody was selling them like just separately. And just right when you gave up, right when I gave up, I took a trip down to SoCal, went to Frank and Sons, and then someone had the Raph set, and I forgot who was missing. It might have been Mr. Negative or someone else that everybody wanted. Or no, not Mr. Negative, Purple Man, and someone else. It could have been like Sandman or the Abomination that came with it. And all they had was Dread Knight and one other figure. They only had two out of the four. And I was like, hey, how much for Dread Knight? And he's like, oh, man. He's like, yeah, that's like, take both of them for, I think he was like 80. And I was like, no, I just want this one. And he's like, all right, just like, he's like, give me like 30 bucks. And I was like, hells yeah. Like, I wanted Dread Knight. Damn,
done.
And to me, I was like, boom, right? That's, to me, I was like, no, I couldn't throw my cash fast enough. And it was like perfect timing. I don't know. Just, it felt like the stars were aligned. It was, I looked up and boom, right there. And, you know, it was funny. And it was funny because I went with a couple of buddies and they all knew what was like. We all shared our wish list or whatnot. So everyone keeps an eye out. And there, you know, and I had seen a couple of Dread Knights being sold by themselves, but it was, the price point was a little high, like $50, $60 range. And again, it's the SDC set. So I was like, okay, I get it. Or they were selling in the full box. I'm like, I just want that one figure. And once I saw him, I'm like, okay, well, I can't get the Spidey because the Spidey was out of my budget. But the Dread Knight, hells yeah. So it worked out. I mean, I saw him. I guess with this, I would just wait. I would wait and just for the right timing or the right price that I had in mind.
Mm-hmm. What about I think it's very situational to your point. It depends on the time of year that you're trying to do it. It depends on how many other people you're seeing selling this thing. How rare is it? You know, is it been out for a while? Is it just now coming out and you've got that FOMO?
Yeah.
And I think with stuff like, you know, those perfect figures, those grail figures that you say, like you've already kind of got an idea in your mind of how much it's going to cost or how much you're willing to spend.
Yeah.
So I think the hardest part with that is to stick to your guns. Like, hey, I found this and I told myself I'd only spend this amount of money for it. This guy wants 20 or 30 more than that. So I think if you're going to try to stick to that budget life that we talk about, you got to be firm and honest with yourself. Like, I told myself I'd only spend this much.
Yeah.
But it really depends. You know, if you're talking about maybe a $10 difference,
it
might be worth it, you know, just to get it off your wish list. And then, you know, don't be afraid to haggle. I like to haggle, but in a respectful way. I think haggling can be also a very disrespectful thing if you go way too low. You know, for instance, if somebody has a figure at $100, like, I'll give you 50 for it. Like, that's just rude. You know, a guy's not going to say yes, and he's probably going to be less willing to deal with you. But if you go, you know, around that price, I think it works.
And also, like, keeping I don't want to say keeping your enemies close, but keeping like a really close ear to the community, because, you know, it was funny because I went through like this Gomez where I needed to have all the roaches, you know, and you hooked me up with the Agent Gomez, right? Yeah. Agent Gomez, the first one. And I had to skip out on that one. I got Street. I got all Stealth. I skipped on Lone Roach, which sometimes I'm like, back and forth a bit. And then I picked up every single one. But then I remember after a while, I was like, man, I don't have Agent. And you hooked me up with Agent where the prices were like up there. And again, it just worked out where by the time I really wanted Agent, that's when you and I had really like bonded and you're like, hey, I got an extra one. Like, I'm like, holy shit. Like, the stars have aligned again. So that was the only way I was able to pick up that Agent. And to me, again, I was like, okay, like, that's a fair price. Like, it's not, you know, it made sense. It wasn't nothing crazy. And I wasn't like, it was good. So like, right. It's funny. Because right now I'm like the one that's been, getting my attention or is on my radar, which I passed, and now I'm like, fuck, is Union Gomez. So I've been kind of eyeballing. I'm like, I kind of want a Union Gomez now. Like, I don't know why. But it's, it might be
both,
just
pass like, on that figure, and we're both having that regret, like, darn it,
And I've seen the pictures. I've seen like ice cool, but right now I'm like, I wish I should have picked them up. And I've seen two good like deals on him, and I still I'm like, eh, like it's not that bit. I do have an eye out for Yuan Gomez, but I do have enough to like either I'm looking for a good trade, or I don't know, maybe eventually I'll have enough like funds set aside where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna splurge a little bit. Yuan Gomez is on my list, and I'm like, I'm not in a hurry to acquire him. So that's the other thing too. Like, I want to have figures that are on my wish list, because in this way, I go to it and I'm like, you know, especially nowadays where I'm not constantly buying stuff. So yeah, Yuan Gomez is one. But I remember Adrian Gomez was one that I was like, fuck, I should have got him. And then, you know, the one I got from you was the comic version, so that was even better.
Yeah, and I think you bring up another good point. Like, offer a trade, maybe.
Yeah.
If this guy is selling Mezcos, for instance, you know he's probably a Mezco collector. Ask him, what is it that you're looking for? Can we do a trade? Maybe I'll make up some of the difference for you.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Waiting until the price goes down, I don't think really happens very often in the collecting community, unless it's around Christmas time when everybody needs money. Then those prices drop like a rock.
Yeah.
Because everybody just wants money.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Let us know, guys. How would you deal with this?
Yeah.
All right. Next situation. You discover that one of your figures in your collection is incredibly valuable, either a rare variant or a figure that's no longer produced. Do you sell it and make a profit, or do you keep it for sentimental value? This is a tough one because I feel like a lot of us deal with this. There you go. He's got a White Skull Agent.
Yeah. White Skull Agent. I don't know. He was up on the list. I took him down, put him up, took him like.
That is, talk about value and rarity. That is both, because that's a hard one. Like, if I can make some good money off of this, but I will never find it again at the price that I bought it for.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So and it's like one of those things.
Didn't you sell your White Skull Agent?
I did. I sold mine kind of close to after getting it, because it was one of those situations, the longer I held on to it, the more likely I would be to want to keep it.
Yeah.
So I kind of have to turn and burn that stuff sometimes. Just get it out of my collection so I don't think about it anymore.
And I've come close. Like, I've put him up a couple times, and it's just either there was all of a sudden there everyone was selling their White Skull Agent, so obviously, like, the supply and demand wasn't really there. But I don't know if I don't know if that's really, for me, it's not a motivator. If I discover one of my figures is valuable, as in monetary, or it's rare. And sometimes the fact that it's rare makes it more
sentimental.
Almost. Yeah, more sentimental. And it's like, I want to make it more part of my collection because it's rare. And I think a lot of the times, like, collectors want to be able to be like, oh, this is one of 10, or this is one of, you know, however many. So, but then also other collectors are driven by different factors. So if it's like, oh, I want to have that rare figure because I want to sell it, they're going to try to get, you know, the biggest bang for their buck. So I get that also. There's obviously a couple figures I have in my collection where I've known, like, you know, some of the Storm collectibles that they first came out, I knew the minute a little bit after, you know, that they had came out, that the secondary market was really, really high on that. So after, once I saw that price point, I'm like, oh, you know what, they're gonna reissue them, or they're gonna do like a version 2.0 on some of their bucks. I'm gonna sell these two only because I know that they're going for a high dollar amount, you know. So there's some lines where I'm like, okay, I know that this is gonna, I'm gonna get my money back and some. So I have no problem with that. Like, I'm not looking to, in that sense, I'm looking to make a profit. But it's very, like, again, I'm very picky and choosy, because at the end of the day, I'm not counting on making a profit. It's just, hey, I know this figure is very limited. Like, for example, like certain, like that Four Horsemen Supercon, you know, one, I wanted it for my collection. But at the end of the day, I know that if I ever want to sell it, that's going to be an easy sell because it's an exclusive. So that is kind of the motivator for me. It's like, I want it because it's an exclusive and it's part of my collection. But then this plan B is like, if I ever want to sell it, I know it's going to be an easy sell. I'm not really interested in how much I can get, but I know I can sell it easily because it's going to be so rare, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this one's definitely situational again. It depends on what we're talking about. To Prime's point, are you collecting just to collect, or are you collecting to be a reseller? Because I know there's a lot of people out there that do that.
Right.
Buy extras just so they can resell stuff.
And that's okay too.
And that's totally fine. We're not knocking anybody for doing that. It's just more of those you know, if this figure means something to you, you're going to have to weigh, you're going to have to ask yourself this question. Do I want the money?
Right.
Is there something coming up that I want to pay for maybe, and I don't need this anymore? Right. How long has this been sitting in storage? Am I going to ever use it again?
Yeah.
Or is there sentimental value? Did someone in your family get it for you? Like your dad got it for you before he died or something. That's something that.
Wow. That's scary. Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about, I'm getting negative in here, but you know what I mean?
I would never sell that.
Yeah. It's one of those things you probably never want to sell because it just means too much to you.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is a situation that all of us get in at least once a year, maybe more than that, depending on how much you collect. You got to kind of, it's one of those things, like when you see that figure in collection, what were you going to do with it? You got to have a plan for everything in my right. mind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And discovering, I mean, being devil's advocate, discovering that your figure is very valuable. Like there's a lot of things that go into that because it seems like we go through seasons of this where there's either one particular character that everyone is seeking, whether it's due to a movie or a TV show, or all of a sudden, you know, Mandalorians are really popular, or Moon Knights, or yeah. a Spider-Man, or, you know, it's like whatever is
ebbs and flows.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of times like that really dictates the demand for a certain particular figure, and that could be hard on someone's collection because I think that really tests your fan base. Like if you're really a fan of the character, or are you a fan of like the hype? Like, yeah, I got this Moon Knight, everybody wants this Moon Knight, so then I'm just gonna sell it for that. You gotta, it's almost like working the stock market. Like you gotta sell when it's a really good, perfect time to sell. You don't want to sell when there's 50 other people offering their Moon Knights, because then I'm yes. just gonna go to whoever has the cheapest. So it's a fine line that you have to walk, and you almost gotta time it perfectly. Like I've seen some, and Mezco I think is a perfect example too. I've seen some people where, like the Wolverine, before the new one came out, the minute the PO, like everyone started dumping their Wolverines. And you saw like that Wolverine before they even announced the new buck, that Wolverine was fetching like what, 300, 350?
Yeah. I was going to say $250 to $300. Yep.
And now like you can get that Wolverine like $120, $150 maybe, like, or
close to if retail. That,
yeah. Like I've seen the price, like, you know, and then all of a sudden there was like 10, 15 Wolverines up there where before, because it was a Mezco exclusive, everybody wanted that Wolverine, but you know, that, the one that wasn't an exclusive is such a better figure that it's hard to get that high dollar value. So if like if you didn't sell it when everybody wanted it, it's and with that figure I was really on the fence. I'm like, man, should I sell it? Like probably like a couple months, way 6 to 9 months way before they announced anything, I was like, maybe should I sell this, because I have the Tiger Stripe and then I have the PX version, and I was like, well, I like, and I have like the Mayfix. I'm like, well, I'm not a huge fan. I should probably sell it. I came really close. And then the minute they announced it, I'm like, well, I'm not going to sell it now, because I'm not going to, you know, you're good if you even get what you paid for, which.
Right. And, you know, I think to that point, if there is a Mezco comic figure that I feel like they might remake, it's better just to sell it now rather than wait to see if it gets announced.
Right. Yeah. Because, chances are they're going to remake it. So.
Right. All right. Next situation. You stumble upon a garage sale and find a box of figures being sold for a crazy low price. You know some of the figs are valuable, but the seller has no idea. Do you buy the whole box and say nothing, or say something and offer a bit more?
I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna say what everyone's thinking and what they're gonna do. You're gonna buy the whole damn box and run at that. Like, you're gonna throw him his $5 and you're gonna be like, oh, this freaking it. He has
exactly.
Yeah. Like, you know, like we're all gonna, there's no way someone's gonna be like, hey, you know, no, we're gonna take the whole box.
I know there's a lot of people out there that would say they would do the right thing, which in my mind is like, hey, you've got a couple of figures here that are pretty valuable.
Yeah.
Now I'm not gonna give you retail price, but I'll give you, let's say, another $40 on top of what you're asking.
I'm gonna give him what he's asking. I'm like, oh, the box is $10. Yeah. Here you go, $10. And you know what? Here's a $5 just because I'm in a good mood.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to find somebody honest enough to be willing to spend more money than what you've already asked for. They probably won't say anything. They'll take the money, or they'll take the figures, give you whatever it was, $20 for a box of Legends, and be on their way. But I mean, I feel like this happens a lot. at toy shows.
Yeah. Unless like, well, okay. So like, I think I remember seeing, I was at a toy show and there was this older lady and she had like this box of like, I can't remember if it was Hot Wheels or it was figured. And then the guy ended up telling her like, hey, you know, you have like this. And he started pricing out stuff. And like two other guys that were standing next to him, like got so pissed at him. Like, and I was just like, I don't know. It was just crazy. And yeah. She was like, oh, I didn't like, she was like, I don't know. Like, this was my husband's stuff. Like he passed away. Like she gave like the whole, you know, sob story and stuff. And he was like, yeah, no, you need like, this is where, and he started like breaking it down for her. And he's like, look, I'm going to buy this one, but you really like this thing. So she took it off the table and man, the other two guys were so pissed. They were like,
so pissed.
But on that note, I was like, well, like, come on, you don't want to, like, she's already telling, like, her husband passed away. This was his collection. Like, at the end of the day, like, do you want, I want to feel some type of way, like, if we're taking advantage of her.
Right, right.
I don't know, like, karma, right? It's like.
Yeah, karma, I was just going to say, karma comes around. So,
yeah,
depending on the situation, you might want to be that
just,
guy.
The dude just did nitpick, like, certain, I want to say it was a box of Hot Wheels. He didn't, he's like, here, I'm going to buy these. But these other ones, he's like, these are really valuable. You shouldn't have them in this box. Like, he really, like, you know, but he took some. I was like, wait a minute. Like,
he probably took some that were valuable. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, maybe he, like, he took some, but then he felt bad. I don't know. I just remember overhearing it. And then the guy's like, oh, come on. What about the, like, they kind of got into it. And I was like, I need to walk away. I had my kids with me. I'm like, oh, we need to keep walking. I'm like, this is going to get intense. I didn't know Hot Wheel collectors were like this. So I'll keep on walking.
I think even though Prime makes a really good point is that, hey, you know, sometimes it's situational. Let's look at who's selling here.
Yeah.
But on playing devil's advocate, if you're going to come to a toy show or something like that, and you have not done prior research what this stuff is worth, it's on you. You know, it's kind of, you got to deal with that yourself. Like, I get wanting to be a good person, but you got to do your due diligence. You can't just expect people to be like, hey, I'll give you $100 for this $20 figure that you're asking for.
No. And on that same note, like the opposite has happened where like, they don't know what they have. One of the first toy shows I went to, they had the Canadian SNL, like Toddy McFarlane set with the,
the beers and everything. Yeah,
the beers and stuff.
Yeah.
They usually go for a good chunk. Like, I'm not crazy.
They're hard to find.
Like, yeah, and this woman, she had them mint on box, and she had them both, like, I want to say rubber band, and she just had a post, and she said $10. And I was like, for each? If it's for each, that's a good deal. Well, if it's for both, like, what? So I went up to her. And
better deal.
And I was like, hey, like, and she's like, oh, yeah. She's like, I don't know, like, I don't know if she said her husband or the son. And she's like, oh, he's not here. She's like, but yeah, it's like, it's $10. And I'm like, for both? She's like, well, yeah, they're both wrapped up. She's like, so I gave her the $10 and walked away. I was like, all right, cool. Like, man, I was like, fucking deal right there.
Yeah, deal of the century right there.
$10 for both of them? I'm like, hells yeah.
And that feels good too when you get a good deal. You're like, all right, cool.
And sometimes people just want to get rid of stuff. Like, you know.
Exactly. Some people don't really care. They just want it out of their collection.
They don't. You
know, they got too much.
I found a listing on eBay. I have all these examples, but I found a listing of these X-File, again, Toddy McFarlane X-File figures, and they came with these really great lab props. Like, one was like this alien chamber, and another one was like a cryo chamber.
Oh, yeah, I know those.
Yeah, and he had about, I want to say like a dozen of them, and he was selling them on eBay for, I think, like the price for the lot. He had maybe less than a dozen. Maybe he had 8 of them, and he had them for like $30 plus like $20 in shipping, something like that. And I found out he was local. So we messaged each other and he's like, hey, save me the $20 in shipping. Just give me like what I'm asking for. I'm like, all right, cool. Met up with him. And then he shows up and he has them in a box. And he's like, you know what? Just give me like $15 for all of them. And I was like, hells yeah. Then he had a Kiss set, like all the drum. And he's like, hey, I have all this. Like, he's like, I was really into Spawn. He's like, do you want this for like $10? And I was like, the instruments, like, I just want it for the props. Like, I don't care about the figures.
Right. I don't even want the figure. Just give me the props.
The whole, like, I got the whole set of 10. He's like, yeah, it's just, I'm just trying to clear up my garage. Like, I don't really care. He's like, I don't care what they're worth. So I bought the whole freaking lot. Like, I bought this big ass box of Spawn McFarlane figure. It was all these X-File stuff. I ended up with like a dozen of them. And then the whole Kiss, like, freaking set for like $25. I was like, wow. Dude, I was so killer. Freaking happy. Got home, chucked the figures in the trash, but kept all the accessories. And
you made out like a bandit.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, sometimes those garage sales, man, or those eBay findings, it works out.
Yeah, you can get lucky. You got to hunt, though. That's what it comes down to. You got to do your own hunting. If you try to wait for something on the line, it's just never going to be the right price.
Yeah.
All right. We'll go through these last few maybe a little bit quicker. I know we've got a few different ones here. All right. You discover a new line of figures are being released soon and you're eager to get your hands on them. However, they're only being sold at select stores in limited quantities. Now, this isn't as probably current. I mean, I know this doesn't happen very often, but you see it a lot with NECA stuff specifically, where hunting really is a necessity to get what you want. We saw with the recent accessory set.
Yeah.
So do you camp out at the store or slash keep hunting, or do you take your chances online? I think for me, I'm always going to try to keep hunting, because if I try to wait till online, the prices are never going to be where it's acceptable for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a really hard time spending aftermarket prices for really any action figure, because we have enough chances to get something at retail price. You just got to be willing to work a little bit sometimes for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd say keep hunting. I would go with keep hunting, and then like use your resources. Like that's what the community is there for. And we see a lot of great examples of fellow collectors coming through for, you know, one another. I mean, that's I never seen this in person, and someone came through and, you know, Triceraton, hello. Like someone's like, hey, I heard you were looking for it. Boom, sent it my way. Paid a little bit more, but I still have yet to see them in store.
Yeah, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I wish every state had a guy like AZ Toy Hunters Guild Mike, because I learned more about drops in my area from him just going out and doing the dirty work for us. And then he shares all that information and then people still give him a hard time. I don't get it.
Damn it, Mike,
why didn't you get me one, man?
Get me one, you know? Too.
Yeah. Come on, dude. You were already there. Just sell an extra.
If you get or they'll accuse him of
being a scalper. Yeah, exactly. But I think with all these kind of situations, even though this is rare nowadays, you got to hunt. You got to do your own dirty work. Don't expect people to do it for you. And then don't get mad at them when they want to sell it at a premium price. They've done the dirty work. They went out and bought it. I got this at SDCC a lot, where I get DMs because people knew I was at SDCC. Can you just pick up this figure for me? No, I can't. Because you're not factoring in the cost of my tickets, my travel to get here, my hotel. If you want to spend a little extra and give me that, then I think it's fair. But to expect retail is just ridiculous. All right. You attend a convention. Oh, look at that, STCC. And meet an exhibitor who has a figure on display you have been searching for or now want. However, it's not listed for sale. Do you try to persuade them or do you respect the decision and move on? I think this one can get a little tricky. Because there's some people that are probably more willing to deal than others. I would say if you don't have a personal relationship with this person, you probably shouldn't try to push them to sell, but it never hurts to ask. You'll never know unless you ask. That's how I approach it. So maybe just politely ask, like, oh dude, that, I don't know, that HasLab Sentinel you have back there, I've been searching for one. Would you have any interest in selling it? And if he tells you outright no, just in my case, move on.
Yeah.
But I've seen some other people can be very persuasive. Like, okay, what if I gave you this much money for it?
Mm-hmm.
That might change that guy's mind a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's just very case-by-case basis on this, because you could get very rude very quickly.
Yeah. And also, like, if you take something to, like, a toy show and you don't have a price, okay, maybe you don't intend to sell it, but you have it there maybe for you're waiting for the right offer. So I think also the way you approach it, like you said, like, hey, what if – and I think with an offer, like, it has to be a good offer. Like, you know, don't insult the guy. Like, you know, retail's $400, like, for a Sentinel. If you're going to offer him, like, oh, I'll give you $450, like, come on. You know, give him, like, come on.
Right.
Yeah,
and then don't get mad when the guy's like, "No, I want $600 for it."
That's, yeah, I mean, and then be like, "All right, I'll give you what it's going for, $1,000," and then you just overshoot. I think I've seen Mario do that. The guy had some Mythic Legions, and it was like $200. It was a set, and he was like, "I'll give you $400," and I was like, "Dude, the sticker price says $200." The guy's like, "Yeah, sold." I was like, "God, come
you
on, Mario!
Lost $200.
You Mario, paid you double the price, and then you're gonna sell it for retail."
I got this, man. I got this.
Yeah. He's like, "I know what I'm doing, Prime. Shut up."
But I'd be curious what other people say, because I've seen it go other ways and it works out in their benefit. You know, where people are selling like customs, things like that. I saw that at Legion's Con and I was like, man, I wish I would have asked.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that could have been mine.
Closed mouths don't get fed.
That's, yeah, that's a great point. But let us know what you guys think about this one. I think this is a, it's again, I said it for all the rest. It can be very situational.
Yeah.
You're cleaning out your collection and realize you have too many duplicates. Do you sell them off, give them away, or keep them as backup figs / custom fodder?
Ooh, that's pretty relevant right now, man. I have found
a lot of relevant for all of us.
Duplicates were, I don't know why, but it, I mean, for my case, I've been selling some of them off. I definitely haven't given them away. And sometimes they come in handy for trades. Like, you know, I just got lucky and I picked up doubles of certain characters and someone out there is looking for one. And again, there's that rapport between myself and the collector, and they got something I want and I got something they want, and it's a happy marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I try not to buy too many duplicates. Just for the fact that I don't want to have too much stuff, but you know, every once in a while you do want to have like a couple of mercenaries for a scene, you know, or army building. I know a lot of people used to do that. Yeah, there you go. Two Mezco Batmans, because maybe one of them is going to break down over time or something like that. And I know a lot of people buy duplicates just to sell, and that's totally fine too. But if you have like something that's not so valuable and you maybe have 20 or 30 of them, maybe giving a few away isn't such a bad idea, or selling them for a very low price. I know Prime sold off a bunch of Legends, and I think he was just offering killer deals. So that's another way you can kind of give back, is saying, hey, $5. Give me something, but I'm not giving you anywhere close to retail price. But I feel like this is more common for a lot of us out there. Okay, a few more here. You discover a new line of figures that were recently revealed and you want to collect the line. However, you feel like you may have too much already. Do you order them and worry about it later? Or do you create a plan to manage the collection before ordering? I feel like this happens every time I have a new pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I try to figure out how I'm going to make space for this? Or do I just order it and worry about it later? I would say early me, order and worry about it later. Like, I'll figure it out. But current day me, I feel like I'm more of the second, where I know that I have a cap for my plan, my collection, and I don't want to keep increasing that cap. So I've got to figure out ways to get rid of stuff so I can get other things.
Oh, cap. I thought you said cat. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. I've got a collection cat. Oh, he cat. Manages it
a for cat me. Collection.
That too.
Man.
I'm the crazy cat guy.
Yeah. You just, man. Yeah, that's tough, because do we really feel like we have too much? I think we always talk ourselves out of that. Like, I could use one more. What's one more? One more.
Yeah, what's one more figure, right? That's a dangerous rabbit hole to get into. Because then you'll just say that every time. Yeah. I'll just, you know, it's one. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I think being conscious of, like, do I have too much? And not of like, I need to get that free shipping. Let me pick up something to qualify for that free shipping. Just being a sense of awareness would really, especially deciding if you want to get into a new line. Like, you know, you've been selling off a bunch of stuff because you know, like, I want to get into Mythic Legion. So let me sell off a bunch of stuff so I can have that room. Most of us don't really, I don't think we take those proper steps. We just kind of jump into it and we're like, what's a couple more figures? I'll just add another shelf. I'll pick up another Detolf. And then we run out of space. It's like, if we would have thought about it, we wouldn't have to pick up another Detolf. You wouldn't be running out of space. And you would have, like, I don't know, just be more methodical about it.
Yeah, I think doing the order and worry about it later has created the situation where now I'm like, okay, create a plan, manage it. That's why me and Prime bring it up so much in episodes, because the more you go on with collecting, the more you have, and you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do with all that at some point, or just and worry about it at some other point.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right. I think I've got two more here.
Okay.
You purchase a figure online, but when it arrives, you realize it's fake or not what you expected. Do you return it and demand a refund, put the account on blast in social media, or keep it as a reminder to be more cautious in the future? This is a tough one.
Well, if you can return it, I would recommend returning it.
I think that's option one for me too.
Yeah.
Try to get a refund.
Yeah, situational, because sometimes like you try to put the account on blast, but maybe the account scammed you, you know, maybe the account is like when I first started selling and buying figures from IG, I got burned. I bought, and it was almost like too good of a deal to come up on, where it was a figure and it wasn't like a crazy figure, it was just like a $15 figure, but the guy was like, oh, $15 shipped, cool, sent him the money, and then he shut down his account. And I was like, it's been a couple of days, what the hell. And I tried to reach out to him, you know, no account, so like there's no account to put on blast. I reached, yeah, and then he was an admin on a page. I reached out to them, and then they're like, oh, we don't know the guy, like we're just all managing this page, like we don't have nothing to do with it. So to me, that was just more of a reminder to be more cautious. And after that, I was like, I'm not going to deal with them unless I know them or they've been vetted, or like I'm not going to be so impulsive on the buy and be more just, if I can't get it and attain it myself physically, then if I have to rely on online, it has to be through a reliable source. So I think I've done a little bit of everything. I don't think I've ever put an account on blast except for like a trade, and yeah, the dude did a horrible job on what I received, and it was apparent. So,
yeah, I think putting an account on blast is definitely the last option for me.
Yeah, you don't get much out of it.
You gotta be really, yeah, you don't get much out of it. You're gonna end up fighting with the guy. You're probably gonna get people that support him that are gonna come to your page and start hating on you. And you gotta be real careful that you've got your facts straight.
Yeah.
Before you start blasting it, because I've seen people, you know, get, let the emotions get the better of them. They'll go onto social media, say all this random stuff without even really talking to this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then they post something later and they say, well, after we talked, I felt really dumb about what I said. So let me just take it down.
Yeah.
Like, don't let your emotions get the better of you, because that's what a lot of us do.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just run and start putting people on blast. And then if you can't get a refund, just for me, keep it as a reminder. This is why I don't do business with companies I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and do business with people you can trust, or at least have some kind of track record.
For sure.
All right. Last one. You're at a local toy store and notice a kid is eyeing a figure you have been after. Do you buy it before they can, buy it for them, or let them have it and keep looking? Now, you know me and kids. You know where I'm going with this.
You're going to karate chop them and make sure you get the figure. One, I'll be like, look, kid. Look,
out of the way.
Let me talk to you.
You're not old enough to appreciate this.
Yeah.
You're out of here.
This is out of your budget, little bro, little slugger, tiger.
Little slugger.
I'm like, look, come here, slugger. Come here. I'm going to call the kid Mario. Come here, Mario. Look, this figure, you're going to end up breaking it. Okay. You're not going to appreciate it. You're going to be too rough with the figure. Here's $5. Go, you know, go buy some Pokemon cards. And then,
I mean, unless I know the kid, I'm not buying it for him. That's for sure.
No.
You know, it's your kid. You buy it for him.
I'll buy him like a different figure. Like, you know, I mean, what's he eyeballing? Is he eyeballing a Mezco? I'm like, look, you have no, you should not be buying this Mezco right now. What are you trying to buy, a Mafex? Like, come on, kid. I don't care if you're 12 and you're trying to haggle me for a Mafex. You need to.
Right.
Mind your P's and Q's and like just go over there. There's the, what's those 12 inch, like that have no articulation figures.
Yeah. I don't know. I know what you're talking about. It's like a big Marvel Legends.
Yeah. Give him one of those. Let's give him one of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
the kid's name's Mario.
Right. If it's Mario, definitely not getting anything from me. I've been at a toy show though, and I've had kids look at stuff and dad's like, no. And I'll just be like, all right, go ahead and take it. You know, just take it. And I know you had that situation too.
Yeah, I had that situation. But I also
But I would say it's pretty rare.
It is, because I did have a couple kids like look at some of the NECAs that I had and some of the Mezcos. And the dad's like, nah, it's $100. Like, I'm not going to buy you that. And he's like, oh, it's Batman. I'm like, but you, just because it's Batman, like, you don't really. I'm like, and your dad said, no, he's not going to spend $100 on your Batman. And, you know, you got your snot rag there sticking out of your pocket. Like, come on. The last thing I want is your snot rag on my table. Like, come on, back up at least 6 feet, bro.
And let's be honest, when it comes to figures, you got to fend for yourself. So unless that kid's holding on to it, if I saw him look at it and touch it, I'm going to grab that thing and run
straight
for
the leg sweep. Like, that's what I'm saying. Watch for the leg sweep.
But yeah, that was fun. Different situations. I'm sure there's a whole lot more we could do, but you know, we try to keep this show to an hour. So I picked some of the maybe top situations that we could run into.
That was good.
But as you guys are listening and making sure that you hit that like button to show your appreciation of the episode, leave a comment below. Maybe a situation that we didn't cover, an answer to one of the situations that we did cover. I'd love to hear from you guys and kind of what you thought about that. A little bit different for us to do something like that on this episode. Yeah. All right. Well, we will power through the rest of this here. We've got pre-orders. Cha-ching. Not a typical topic for us here at the figure booth, but it is something new that's Mezco. And I've seen a couple of people that are 112 collectors show some interest in it. The Return of Living Dead Dolls Exorcist figure. Now, I don't have any LDD figures.
Yeah.
I'm not really into the line. I think this one is a bit different, which is cool. A bit more horror-centric, Easter. I've seen some people online say that, like, I don't collect these, but I'm getting this one. So I figured we just cover it here.
Is this that video that they, like, quickly showed?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. I think a lot of people, anytime Mezco posts something, people are like, oh, cool, new 112.
Yeah.
And then it ends up being a Living Dead Dolls or a Mega Deluxe scale figure.
Interesting.
I still won't be pre-ordering this. This isn't something I'm after. But I'd be curious if people listening, if this has your interest or not. You know, these are bigger. Some people are, you know, mask. Horror buffs, though.
Yeah. I'm surprised you don't have to be mask. You're a horror buff. That's right up your alley.
Yeah, it's just another one of those things. Like, I don't collect this, and I really don't want a reason to get more. So, you know, unless my wife was like, yeah, we got to have it, I probably wouldn't even try. But I know there's people out there that are probably a little interested in this. So I'd like to hear from you guys. Let us know what you think. Has this got your interest? If they did this in 112, would you be after it? I feel like if this is a 112 release, I might be a bit more willing to consider it.
Yeah, when I first saw the clip, I thought it was going to be a 112.
Yeah. This just a reminder, we've talked about this, but if you're listening to this on release date, which is 4:30, you have until 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight to lock in your order for the Cosmic Legions Outpost Zaxxias wave, whether you do an all-in or individual releases. This is your last chance to get it from direct pricing from Store Horsemen, so don't forget that. Today's the last day, and if you're listening to this after Sunday, it's too late. You're going to have to go with BBTS or One Stop Toy Shop. And then there's a couple more I wanted to talk about, courtesy of Lost Cause Collective and their Instagram.
Who are those guys?
We've got
nothing but troublemakers.
Yeah, who's Lost Cause? We've got the Guardians of the Galaxy SH Figure Arts figures. Nice. Doesn't do much for me.
Yeah.
Basically, Star-Lord and Rocket Raccoon in their traditional uniforms. I don't like the head sculpt on Star-Lord. Maybe it's just me. I think he looks a little weird. Not the best Chris Pratt, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But that's out there if you guys missed it. We've got... this one's really cool because we've seen a third-party figure trying to accomplish this. And I feel like SH Figure Arts may have nailed it a bit better.
Yeah.
But the Green Goblin from Spider-Man No Way Home with the glider, it comes with the figure. This thing looks killer. I really like the way this came out, especially with the head sculpt.
Yeah. I just hope it's not
I hope it comes out.
It's more 112 scale because usually SHF is a little bit smaller, no?
It is.
I've only had like one or two SHF and they're like under 6 inches.
Yeah, SHF stuff does typically run small. So to your point, I hope this is as big as like a Mofex.
Yeah.
Like, can I use this with my Mofex Spideys? That would be great.
Oh, yeah.
I think they nailed the head sculpt for Willem Dafoe. The glider is a really cool addition. It's an articulated glider, too, so it moves around.
Crazy good.
You know, it's got, I think the hydraulics here work. It's pretty crazy. So a really cool release, and you can see Spidey doing the recreation of that scene. You got Joe Fix-It, which is a Walmart exclusive. Basically, we've seen before a BAF, Kevin, that is being re-released as its own standalone figure.
Yeah.
I know. You're shaking your head like, damn it.
I'm just supposed to be
more exclusive.
Well, no, that I wish it would have been a regular release, but then that's like the Joe Fix that we should have got from the get go. Like, I'm just.
Yeah. Because what, the original was a white suit, right?
It was just didn't have the pinstripes, but it looked more like MCU-ish. I don't know. It just looked a little. It didn't look like this one. Looks like he came out. He came out of the comics.
Right.
Yeah, and more comic accurate. Yeah, more comic accurate. The other one, I wasn't too crazy about the head sculpt.
And I really like the extra head
Tommy
sculpt.
Gun and yeah.
Yeah. To your point,
I have the Toy Biz one, which. Mm-hmm. That one's like, you can tell it's super outdated, but it's still awesome. He comes with a pleather jacket and stuff.
Yeah, and for the early adopters in Marvel Legends, the people that really try to support the line, I feel like sometimes these re-releases of Build-A-Figures are kind of a punch in the gut, especially when they come with more head sculpts, more accessories, more accurate to the source material.
Yep.
You know, it's like, it gives more of a reason for people to sit on stuff and not pre-order it right away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, give us this one for the get-go and let people have the reissue that's not quite screen accurate. Right.
And it's a Walmart exclusive. Company. Like, that's going to be a nightmare. Look at the lizard.
Yeah, it's going to be even
worse. The lizard's been a nightmare.
Right. Even worse. We've got the Marvel Legends Avengers Beyond Earth's Mightiest Black Knight and Cersei 2-pack.
That was cool.
I like this, but I don't like. I've never really liked Marvel Legends that come with specific clothing, because that's all you're gonna get for that look.
Yeah,
you know, he doesn't have swappable arms. If you try to use him without the arms, he's gonna look very funky. But maybe, you know, I don't know much about Black Knight, so maybe he's more known to have the jacket on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but he was for a good time when he was part of. Like in the 90s, that I recognize him in that jacket. So if I was trying to compose a team, I would want him with the jacket. Because they've released a Black Knight without the jacket. And I think I even went ahead and like got like a Cyclops jacket and I threw it on him. So this, if for those that are like completing teams, would make sense. Because that's the kind of the iconic look that I'm used to seeing him in the comics.
Right.
During that time with Cersei as well. And again, that jacket, like it seemed like everybody had like this rogue jacket on, or Scott Summers jacket in every single team. So it's very reminiscent of the era. So to me, it makes sense. Okay, it works for me, but I liked it because it was very iconic for the team, but I also didn't like it because some of the things that they changed, like his sword, like I was more a bigger fan of just like more of the traditional sword, not like this energy beam sword or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So this is when the teams got kind of funky. So it was like, a lot of Avengers teams.
Yeah, I've never even heard of Beyond Earth's Mightiest.
Yeah.
So that tells you how deep I go with Marvel. Star Wars Black Series Mandalorian Fleet Commander. Doesn't do a whole lot for me. I'm not into Black Series, but if you're looking for this, it's out. And I think the last one is the DC Multiverse New 52 Captain Atom. I've been staying out of multiverse stuff. But it is cool that they have such a deep roster now. We're not getting quite as many Batmans as before.
Yeah.
It is kind of nice.
It's cool. I see. I forgot what else I saw from the Gold Label one. It really caught my attention. Drawing a blank. But then I've also seen some pictures of like that Robin that came out.
Yeah, I really like that platinum Mr. Freeze that Grump showed us.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I'd rather have that one. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's pre-orders for the week. I know we talked about a lot of Motivation Monday, so trying to pick a few more that we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
Okay, Plastic Confessions. I'm going to cheat a bit on this one. Mm-hmm. I already talked about this on Motivation Monday, but my Plastic Confession was the McFarlane Batmobile from 89. Couldn't say no to that. So it's huge. It's a bit bigger in scale than I think I was maybe expecting, but very cool. Very cool release. So that's my confession.
Yeah, mine was the Mezco Superman, the
nice
comic version.
The new one.
Yeah, the newer one. Man, such a great fig. I loved it. Yeah, I forgot all the accessories it came with.
It
blew me away.
The Starro, I like that you can put that on really anybody's face. The Kryptonite Chamber, that thing's really cool.
And all the different head sculpts. Like, I forgot it came with 36 head sculpts. That's crazy.
Yeah, 36, yeah. Guys, you're in it here. If you didn't get 36, you might want to email Mezco. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's what we got. Okay, this week's Nasty Nate's Dirty Trick is, and I probably said this before, if you're having trouble with photos, go back to the basics. Do something simple that you're familiar mm-hmm. with. I feel like a lot of us are always trying to up the ante.
Yeah.
Like, let me do something that's a bit harder. Let me do something that's a bit more complicated. You know, let me add more figures into the shots. And unfortunately, there's only a select few of people out there that really appreciate the extra work that you're putting into those shots. And I don't mean that as like a negative thing for other people that maybe don't do toy photography. I'm just saying the more complicated you're making your shot, you're just really making it harder on yourself. And then I see a lot of people get really discouraged when their light count isn't up to where they want it to be, or they feel like they're not getting the recognition that they deserve. So maybe try to go back to the basics and do, you know, some hand John poses, do some hand shots, do stuff like that. You know, what you see works. Or if you're struggling on ideas, I do this a lot. And you look at shots from previous years. What's something that I've done that I could redo?
Yeah.
To put a fresh take on it. Like I just did one recently with a Prime arcade, the Batman 89 arcade.
Yeah.
It felt like a no-brainer to me. I got to have Keaton with his Keaton arcade.
Yeah.
And it took this long to get me the Keaton arcade. not the Keaton arcade, excuse me.
Hey.
The Keaton figure. I've had the Keaton arcade for a very long time. Let me just make sure I say that correctly.
Jerk. No, just
but it took this long to get the figure in. So I've been dying to redo that shot. So it's just that kind of stuff.
Iconic.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I appreciate that. I got a lot of great support on that shot. So thanks to everybody that said something. But yeah, if you, you know, I go through these low points as well where I don't shoot for a while. I don't have the motivation. I don't have the ideas. So sometimes I'll just go back to what I know, what's easy, you know, because sometimes simple sells. People don't want all these complexities. They don't really understand it. Or just go back to a shot that you've done and try to do a new revised take on it. Maybe switch out the characters or something.
Yeah, that works.
All right. Last but certainly not least, this comes from, I should say, our figure aficionado for the week. Something I love doing. I know Prime really enjoys it.
Yes.
And we always ask you guys to give us suggestions, right? So we want to hear from you. Who is it that you feel like doesn't get the deserved attention? Or you're surprised that we haven't talked about them yet on the show, or whatever it is. So when you're hitting that like button, I'm going to remind you again, hit that like button when you're listening. Leave a comment. Is there somebody that you think deserves to be in the spotlight? Because this one from this week is from a comment. We got a DM from Max Fisher. He said, hey, you know, loving the show. This is a guy I think deserves a bit more attention. Can you guys cover him on the podcast? And I totally agree. This is one of those accounts I've been actually finding maybe a bit more recently over the last, I would say, 6 months or so. And I don't think he has the following that he deserves. He's putting out some really great content. You guys have probably seen him, especially if you follow Max Fisher. His name is Bonnie_Rotten. His real name is Mitch. You can see that from his profile. And he just kind of started out in toy photography. He makes dios, scenery. And for a guy that's just starting out, he's putting out some really stellar work.
That's so freaking cool.
This is so awesome. Using the new vapor with like a chicken or like a pigeon coop type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm personally jealous of all the pigeons that he has.
Yeah.
I love the pigeons from Mezco. And just to... It looks like he partnered with Max. So this is Max's shot. They did one of those collaboration posts. This is Vonnie's shot. Awesome. Just such a cool setup.
Yeah.
Really, really awesome scene building here. This one, kind of a Wild Wild West Mezco figure.
That's
Western
cool.
Doc Nocturnal.
Man. Yeah.
Such a cool idea.
That's a no-brainer.
I know. It's like, how is this not a real thing yet?
Yeah.
Because this is like the perfect representation of it.
Yep.
This Conan shot against some skeletons. Really great action. I mean, this guy's got some crazy photography skills. I love the way he shoots scenes, his lighting. He does BTSs too. So if you're curious how he's building shots, he shows off a lot of the behind the scenes.
It's awesome.
You got this one here, which is a like a carnival scene with Vapor as a carny. That's such a cool idea. I'll go through a few more. You've got Vapor on the subway. I think this is Max's shot. Oh, no, this is Vonnie's. I'm sorry. So, yeah, Vapor on the subway. I guess he peed himself. I don't know why he peed himself, but he did.
Scared.
Yeah, he's scared. Here's him against the ropes. I mean,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Super creative.
What a great perspective, you know?
Seriously, man. I love the creativity. But, yeah, I mean, I could go through this gallery and talk about all these shots. I'll let you guys do that yourself and enjoy it. Yeah, make sure you guys give him a follow. He definitely deserves more followers, more likes. I think you're doing great work, Mitch. Keep it up, dude. You're absolutely killing it. So thank you, Max, for the nomination. We really do appreciate that.
Killer.
Keep those coming. Yeah, I would love for every single figure aficionado to be a fan-nominated one. Yep. That would be perfect world for me.
Yeah.
But there you guys have it.
We made it to the end of another episode. Let us know what you guys liked, what you guys didn't like, what you guys want more of, who should we have next on the show. What other ideas? What do you guys want us to tackle? Send all that feedback our way. Nate and I, we freaking love it hearing from you guys. So it was a blast. Another great chat. I love those what ifs. I could be here all day talking about the what ifs.
Yeah, what ifs all the time. Maybe this is something we'll probably have to revisit, like do a different style of what if.
Yeah.
But yeah, what Prime is saying, thank you guys for all the support recently. We really do appreciate it. Like we talked about at the beginning episode, if you haven't checked out our podcast recently, go check out those other episodes, great interviews, and we're looking forward to more. If there's somebody you guys want to hear from, let us know in those comments after you're hitting that like button, and make sure you guys subscribe on YouTube to the Figure Booth and hit the notification bell. Prime, where can they find you?
You guys can catch me all under Prime to the First on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
You guys can catch me at figurefan_Nate on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Till next time.